We've been talking about going to opening doors. When we remember and when we are thankful for the freedom, well, I think that it just ebbs out of us so that other people be free too. So when we think about this, I want us to once again think about the doors being open, about what we should do about remembering and being thankful for Jesus paying the price to free us, and those that have fought to defend that freedom, and to consider an invite to remember. Because this table wasn't just about, it's a done deal and you can go home now. This is a table about opening doors, as we've been talking about. And what was expressed in the scripture is that the grace that has been freely given to you, that Jesus paid for on the cross, is actually for you to freely give. It is. It's to well out of you, to flow out of you, not in a kind of a computed way or a predictable way. It's just supposed to flow out of you, so you can't even calculate all the grace that's flowing. But it's freely received by you, and it's to be freely given. So we think about opening doors. And I realized something this week in the whole kind of concept of open doors, and that is that are you on the inside or the outside of God's kingdom? You're on the inside. Through this event, through Jesus' death on the cross, you've already gone through the door accepting Christ. You're in the kingdom. So I've often thought about going and knocking on doors so we can go in, so we can give grace to people's lives. But actually, this table is about you already having gone through the door and being on the other side of the door, opening it so that others can come in to the kingdom. There's no locked doors between you and God. You have received that grace. As John the Apostle sought to wrestle with this concept of us being on the inside and who Jesus really was, to really break the thresholds, to invite us in. It's only our will that makes the door. As John the Apostle wrestled with that understanding of who Jesus was, he wrote in John 1, and our deacon Matthew Yule is going to come and read for us John 1 to help us get the concept, to understand who this is.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not out of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you, Matthew. It's a profound text. It's a profound text about a profound person. John tries to capture what happened in front of his eyes. His eyes. He's one of these witnesses. When we think about this, there's a few things that I've reflected on. And that's open up doors. You know, there's a sense that you are going into people's lives and you are opening yourself to them and they to you, and you're exchanging opportunities. You do it all the time, as we've talked about. But you also, in the kingdom, have the right and the responsibility and the opportunity to open up doors for other people, to open kingdom doors for them. So how do we seek to do that? Well, number one, God already opened the door. You see, he broke through that distance between us and him by sending Jesus, and he stepped into the world. We're going to celebrate that in a month because he came as a baby. That's phenomenal. He came as a helpless child, and that's how he stepped into the world. Talk about a graceful God. He stepped into this world with all of his power and glory in a baby. And he stepped into our world. The Creator came to us. He was, as the text said, he wasn't recognized. In fact, he was rejected. God rejected by his own people. Seems like impossible, isn't it? No, he was rejected by his people. But by believing him, receiving him into our lives, remember we talked earlier about that door that God has given each one of us, our will, our volition. That's a locked door until we open it up. Revelation talks about, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I can come in. Believing that Christ died on the cross and that he rose again, beating death, and receiving him into, like making space in our own soul, moving over a bit, so Jesus can come and reside in our soul. That's what opens us up to his glory. And this rebirth that happens, us opening the door and Christ coming into our lives and transforming us, that rebirth is supernatural and eternal. Oh, I know. I know. Many days I feel like I'm not very supernatural and not very eternal. But that's what Jesus promised. That's what he has to teach me in the dynamic of my soul. He has to keep nudging me, saying, Ken, you know it's eternal, right? You know this is permanent, right? And it illuminates our darkness. In a few moments in our service, I'm going to give you the right to share your stories, especially if there's something that happened last week. If there's a couple that are willing to carry microphones, that'd be great. But we wanted to extend this opportunity to you because light does illuminate through your life. And when I stop and pause to think of what I would be like without Christ, it scares me. It scares me that I could actually have the power to make that decision and I could have made it wrong. Light shines through us. Jesus Christ, light and truth in you, shines into the world. Brilliance about the New Testament, about the gospel, is that he didn't give us the mechanics. He didn't give us the specifics. He didn't give us the words to say. He wanted it to be organic. In fact, he wanted to shine his light through us in our children that don't even get it all theologically, that haven't been off to seminary yet, that don't know how to formulate it. The light shines through them. One day, one of my sons said something to me in our car as we were driving, and I felt like jamming on the brakes because it was the Holy Spirit talking through him. And I thought, whoa, you're not in seminary. I am. How do you get this? That's the Holy Spirit in you. He's there. If you've accepted Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit's there and he's working through you. You can't calculate it at all. Jesus never gave you the right or the opportunity to calculate all the good that he do through you. It's not there. His grace and his glory and truth dwells in us, and it asks others to open their doors. That's what it does. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. I'm lost. I was lost. Now I'm found, says Amazing Grace. And he extends it to every single human being. In fact, he extends it to all of creation for redemption. It's just the human beings that get that right to decide yes or no. My beagle, he's in heaven already. Not yet, but he's won his place to heaven because he doesn't have that choice. Only you do. You have the choice to reject it or accept it. And it seeks others. We understand this. We've wrestled with this, grappled with this. In fact, a couple weeks ago, as we were talking about this, we were talking about keys. Keys in our lives. And for those of you that weren't able to be with us that Sunday, what we did was we took a key, you know, one of these newfangled keys, like the plastic sort that you use in hotels, or we took a key, and we wrote some initials on it. And we wrote some initials of people that we want to them to open the doors of their lives. We want them to open up so that the Holy Spirit can join them in their soul and guide them to truth. And we put initials on those cards. And I just wanted to share with you, because We're praying for these people. The dynamic of them accepting Christ is so important and so vital that we don't want to blow it by saying, oh, let's put a bunch of names up on the screen and embarrass them. That wouldn't be proper. So let me just mention a few. GT, AM, SR, PN, SR, AQ, TW, PL, JT, KC, HP, DS, JM, JR. There's the names that you put on these cards, there's 55 of them. So what I did, you can see behind me here that I took the keys and the credit cards and I melted them together. Because we give them over to God, right? We can't strong arm them into the kingdom, but we sure celebrate when they say, yes, I want Christ to transform my life. I'm going to be praying for these initials. As the Holy Spirit leads me. But if you haven't done that and you feel like there's a person, there's a couple of people on your hearts that you feel like you want to give over to God, then certainly sometimes the things that we do matter to us. They do something inside of us. They help us remember. So there's keys at the back that you can put an initial on and put into the offering, and I'll be praying for these people. We seek that they would accept the grace that is coming from you. That they would start to ask questions about the grace that's coming from you. That they would be led by the Holy Spirit to Scripture. A friend of mine in seminary, sitting beside me in class, his name was Steve. He and I are both about the same age. And he said, and I said, so how did you get here? How did you come about coming here? And he said, you know, I hated Christians. I was Paul. Actually, in fact, I was Saul. I hated Christians. As soon as I had any inkling that a person was Christian, I would just start hammering away at their faith. I hated them. He said, I started to search for peace in my own life. And so I went to Buddhism and I sought to find peace there. And I didn't find that I was receiving the peace that I really wanted. And I went to another New Age religion and I couldn't get my hands on the peace that I needed. He said, one day I was cleaning out my library and I found a Gideon's Bible. I wanted to burn it. I just hated the fact that I couldn't have peace, but there was all these people out there that were called Christians that said they knew peace. But something in his head said, read it. So he thought, fine, I'm going to read this and burn it. And he read through that Gideon's Bible, and he got to the point of this table. And he said, tears were running down his face because he couldn't believe that someone would pay the price so that he could go to heaven, so that he could have peace. And he thought, if there's any chance that that guy, Jesus, would do the same for me that he did for everybody else that claims to be Christians, if he could actually do it for me, I'd believe in him. He said, here I am now. He gave me the peace. I was challenged last couple weeks that it's never too late for your loved ones. Not until the last moment of the last breath. It's never too late. Sometimes we get hardened to that fact. I've stopped praying for people who, after years I prayed for, they didn't accept. I thought, God, you must not have chosen this person. I was challenged just in the last couple weeks to renew my prayers for them. We talked a little bit last week, and I know we didn't have the projector be able to do this, but this was one of Pat's screens. So I wanted to just share this screen with you because you have the grace inside of you. I know you look at me, perhaps, and say, well, Ken sure filters out some of that grace that could come to me. Ken, sir, has his own personality that's part of the way the grace comes. Yeah, that's who we are. We actually pray that God would change us so the grace would become purer. But Pat shared this with us, verses like love one another. You know what love is? Love one another. Carry each other's burdens. Let your conversation always be full of salt. Serve wholeheartedly. What do you do in terms of listening to people around you? We were talking about listening last week. How do we love? By listening. How do we do that? Because for most of us, They can do it easily. Just listen to people. Encourage the speaker with nods and gestures. Helps us in conversation. Give regular feedback. Empathize. Be patient. Listen for volume and tone. Watch body language. Because God is patient. He's not willing for anyone to perish, but every person, every human being that you know to come to repentance. That's what he wants. So Pat really challenged us with, do we listen well enough? Because there are people around you in your life that in conversing with them, the grace will flow from you to them. And whether they make the decision at that point or later in life, you'll be part of it. Because that's how grace works.